In reading this devotional, you know, it takes you day one, day two, day three. But this month is about, oh, freedom. It's because this month we are celebrating Black History Month. And I remember as a child being in a Black church with all Black members. Singing was very important to us. I remember being in the fields with my mother and grandmother and aunts. I would always hear them singing. I was like, why are they so happy and singing when we're out here in this hot sun and the bugs? And oh, there go a snake just went across. One day I did not like that. That snake went across, and I don't think I ever went back anymore. But singing was very powerful to them. And that's why when we have praise and worship here every Sunday morning, when Jay gets up and says, come on down, he wants you to come on down with an open heart and an open mind and to just feel the presence of God, because God is here. And not only that, when we are so blessed that we will have up here on the screens the words, because it's not just about the song and the melody, but it's about the lyrics of the song and what it's saying. And so what I've done is I've taken a few things out of this book, and I just want to share with you how important it was back many, many years ago to my great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather, music and praising and worshiping the Lord. No matter how bad things were, they still praised the Lord. And you know, we did that many years ago. We did it yesterday, today, and we're going to do it again tomorrow. So on the first day, a melody of love, there was this lady named Marian Anderson, and she was known worldwide for her singing. But, you know, because of her race, however, that meant that she, an African-American who could sing great, she was faced with hurt and disrespect. One of the worst public rejections was a denial to perform at the Framed Constitutional Hall in Washington, D.C. But God, God said, So with the help of the First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt helped Anderson, and she was allowed to perform outside on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on that Easter Sunday morning, 1939, a crowd of 75,000 people were there to hear her sing, with millions more listening on the radio. But God. Her biggest achievements, though, were never growing bitter. Instead, she put her faith and focus on God. In Him, they say, in the author of this devotional, I have a freedom in life I could not have in any other way. The barriers that Anderson and all of us face in life invites us to reflect on our Christ and how He handled rejections, because we know that He had rejections also. The praises we sing uplift our spirits. Singing uplifts us. It gives us energy. It encourages us. So it's so important on Sunday morning to come on in and to just forget about everything that's on the outside. Forget about those bills you haven't paid. Just be in the presence of the Lord and lift His holy name up. It's not just the praise team's responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. And this is This Little Light of Mine. How many of you remember that song? Okay. I'm Gonna Let It Shine, written in 1920 as a gospel lyrics for children transformed into an iconic freedom song. I can remember my grandmother saying, let it shine. Let it shine. And that's something that Pastor Leonard and Janet say here. Let the light of God shine on you. Because when you go into Kroger's, you want that light to shine. Because you want the people in Kroger's to say, I want some of that, and where did you get it from? And let it shine. This little light of mine, I was growing up in a black United Methodist church. Our children choir director, she instructed us to sing and shout with confidence. I'm gonna let my light shine. Let this light shine. This song was a seed affirming my identity in Christ as my light. With a theme that mirrors Jesus' word to followers. Let your light shine before others. You'll see that in Matthew 5:16. We will find ourselves on the front lines facing challenging life situations. Our rays of hope, joy, love, and compassion encourages us. And it interests other people because they see us. The freedom we exhibit in Christ bears witness in Scripture and our unshakable faith in God. We design to shine and others see the light. Although the world might try to diminish our light, the world does not have the power to hide what God has lit. So when you let Jesus Christ into your life and your light begins to shine because of your belief and the way that you walk and the way that you talk and you read and pray to him, no one can take that light away from you. That light shall shine. A church should be a sanctuary. Thus, I was shocked as a child when our small church in a humble black part of our town was vandalized. The altar, pews, walls defeated with spray paint and food, and the stained glass windows broken. Can you imagine that? I can still see my dad and fellow church members welling, mopping, and washing and sweeping up glass, patching windows. Was it a radical attack, as many black churches had endured? We never learned. Does it really matter? We just continue to pray. Come Sunday, however, as the church doors opened and the church members entered to worship, not one would still bow down in grief or despair. Inspired by Christ, we simply arose, even some usually in wheelchairs, some hand to hand, some enriching the sanctuaries, some on canes that were bringing in one another because they knew that their God was still there. They knew that we must shine still today. Regardless of everything that we had endured, we must shine. And then we're going towards the end of remembering the suffering of the black Americans. You know, remembering the things that they went through and the beatings that they took. And the homes that were burnt down and the children that were sold, they were suffering. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross also. Many of the African American spiritual includes, were you there? Were you there? Explore the depths of human suffering. While our Christian journey is a victorious one, recognize this victory came as a result of the passion, suffering, and death of our Lord Jesus. Were you there? While we do not know who wrote "Were You There," we know enslaved people and their descendants sung this song. Personal lyrics draws parallel between Christ's suffering and the suffering of the slave. For me, this song holds a special meaning as it was one of my mother's favorite spiritual songs. Whenever we play it at the church, we came together in our homes to sing. I felt as if it were inviting Christ's suffering into our hearts and uniting our trials with his. I can still recall his singing and playing this song, realizing we do not have to be physically present at an event when it actually happens in order to experience it. So you don't have to have been back there years ago when slaves were beaten and mistreated and they were treated differently. You don't have to. But I feel like when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, and I'm sitting here talking about this today, you feel it too. Because as I read these things, I felt so humble and distrust and just things, but I wasn't there. Were you there? No, but I can feel these things. You know, just like when Jesus Christ was on the cross and Mary was crying and he wanted to know, why are you crying? Because she saw her son on the cross and the nails that was going in his hands into his body. It is easy to see the parallel between Jesus' passion and the experience of slaves. I imagine slave mothers and the fathers crying out in a similar voice. And I am not comparing the suffering that Jesus Christ had to the slaves. But suffering is suffering. Suffering is not a good thing. But suffering, you know what? It builds us. Because I can remember some of my ancestors talking about how the things that they went through made them stronger and made them want more. By accepting and uniting with Jesus' suffering, our ancestors also embraced the hope of the resurrection. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, were you there? Speaks to us today because its core messages are the cross and compassion. The songs invite our presence with Christ as we remember his suffering. A slave who had experienced suffering has sympathy for the suffering of Christ in a greater way. No different than a white person, but they feel that suffering that they endured many years ago. Were You There asks us to do this by inviting people from all backgrounds, not only to take part and just coming to church, but to be together as man and woman and as daughters and sons of Christ. So what I'm saying today is praise and worship is important. The songs that we sing are important. So we need to embrace those words. And also I'm saying that just because I'm black and you white does not mean that we don't come together arm in arm. Because we all should be singing these same songs. And it says here, were you there when the four little girls were killed at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham? Were you there? Were you there at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs when parishioners were killed? Were you there? Were you there? He was there. Yes. And he is my Jesus and he is your Jesus. So he's here today for all of us. So don't make lightly of this. And please, I pray that when they sing songs again, that you see it in a new way, in a new direction, and you embrace what the lyrics are saying. Thank you.
Jesus answered them. The first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind and all of your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." You know, when we talk about love, the word love, depending on the translation that you're looking at, the word love is mentioned between 300 to 800 times in the Bible. In the New King James Version, or the King James Version, it's mentioned just 300 times alone, over 300 times. And when something is talked about that often, it must be pretty important. Amen? That's not a word that we just throw around lightly. If you remember back in school, sitting in your classroom and your teacher was teaching you something and you kept hearing a certain word or a certain subject come up over and over again, and sometimes they even maybe stomped their foot a little bit, that means that was obviously an important thing for you to remember. And the same thing is applied here with love. When we hear that word, it should bring joy to us. No matter how much we're hurting, the word love, just the word itself, can sometimes be healing. to whatever it is we're going through. Because God's love for us is greater than any other. His love for us is immeasurable. His love for us is unconditional. There's no strings attached. We don't have to have a certain amount of money or live in a certain kind of house or dress a certain way. He loves us no matter what our circumstances are. As humans, we often attach conditions to how we distribute our love and our friendship and our assistance. But it doesn't matter how distant we may become with God, He is always going to love us the same. One of us here this morning found that out just in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. His life was instantly turned around. He's still got a journey to walk. He's not done, but he's on the right path. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him a praise. So then I ask you, why would we not want to give God the same love that he gives us? We can certainly never be God. We can never be in that light, but we can walk with him in that light. We will never overtake God. We will never surpass his love, but why not love like he loves us to one another and to him? Amen. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or darkness or peril or sword?" Some of those words sound familiar. We just sang a song with those words in it just a little bit ago, Days of Elijah. But sometimes we do allow things like that to distract us and to take away some of that love. It's not something that we necessarily set out to do, but we as humans, we're not perfect. We're sinners. Sometimes we allow things to distract us and to take our minds away from what we need to be focusing on. And sometimes that affects our love, not just for each other, but for God. When we have something happen in our lives that's traumatic, or it really affects us either financially or even spiritually, if it's some sort of an offense that we've taken, that can sometimes make us distant from our love for God. But anytime we feel that coming upon us, anytime we experience a situation like that, the very first thing we need to do is fall on our knees and ask God for his help and his love and his mercy to overflow those problems. Because it doesn't matter. God is bigger than those. Amen. In Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, this is something that I came across as well. And actually, I'd like for us to sing it, if we have it up here on the screen, in the tune of Amazing Grace. It's, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. One more time. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. Amen. The second part of Mark 12:29-31 talks about loving one another. In the Bible, Jesus repeatedly tells us to love one another. It's not something that he just suggests. He wants us to do that. It is. It's a commandment. In John 13, 34 to 35, it says, love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that doesn't mean we have to wear a big banner that says, oh, I'm a Christian, or, you know, oh, I love this person and that person more than you. No, that's not what it's about. It's not about us and what we're gaining from it. It's what we as God's people gain from it by loving one another. It's what we as a society could have by loving one another. Instead of the distance that's been put between us as people here on earth in this country and even in the world, it's like the saying goes, love really is all you need other than God. If we would drop all of the offenses and all of the disagreements and the hurt and the pain and just love one another, can you imagine how sweet life would be every single day? So make time for each other. Lift each other up in times of need. Lend a hand when someone needs your help. Defend each other when others make attempts to discourage or discredit them. Don't pass judgment, but encourage each other and be willing and prepared to walk with others through their struggles. We can't do it alone. We need God, and we also need each other. We cannot waste our freedom in Christ by selfishly serving ourselves. We are to serve one another in love. If we are always selfishly serving ourselves, we will always find ourselves in conflict with each other. Again, love. We're bound to have disagreements. We're human. But it's how we take care of those disagreements that makes the difference. We shouldn't hold grudges. We shouldn't be in a state of mind where, oh, I'm not going to forgive that person because they hurt me too much. No. If they're stubborn enough to need to dwell on that for a while, we need to step up and say, okay, I'm releasing that. I'm speaking against that. I forgive that person. God in time will heal their hearts and mend this relationship. But be the one to take that first step, if need be. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, which means serving ourselves, but to love and serve one another. You getting a pattern here? It's been mentioned numerous times in the last few minutes. God just wants us to love each other. Love can change bad attitudes. Love can change concrete mindsets. Love can change hardened hearts. So the question that I leave you with right now before we sing our last song is, what are we doing or are we going to do to give that type of love? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.